All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And I want to take this chapter and kind of break it down for you a little bit, show you a couple things that I hope will encourage you in your walk with the Lord. This 2 Samuel chapter 6 is where David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. All right, he has been anointed to be the king over all of Israel, over Judah, and also over Israel. The 10 tribes and the 2 tribes of Judah. And now that that is done, his desire is to bring the Ark of the Covenant, and I'll explain to you where it was, what happened to it in just a moment, but David wanted to bring it to Jerusalem so that not only would everyone be under the same government, but everybody would be under the same ark, the same representation of God. And that ark, of course, was a representation of God. It was, God was dwelt above that ark in the holy place. And so you can imagine how special that the Jews viewed that. And so David wants to bring it to Jerusalem, get it all set up so that everyone is on the same page. All right, now in chapter 6, let's begin, please, in verse 1. And you'll notice here, verse 1, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah. Now, let me just stop right here. There should have never been a Baal of Judah. Never should have been. That shows you how far off into false religion they had gone. Now, you think about that for a moment. In Judah, of all places. Now, if you'd have read the city of Baal in Simeon, well, that you might be able to say, well, I can see that. I can see that. That tribe was a mess. But Judah, here is a city called Baal, and it's of Judah. All right, now jump into the verse, to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubim. Now that little phrase right there is real important in this chapter, that dwelleth between the cherubim. You see, with that ark, you had the presence of God, the presence of God. Now you think about that for just a moment. Let that sink into you. God dwelt over top of that ark. God dwelt over top of it when it was in the tabernacle and in the temple. Verse 3, and they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new ark, the new cart. All right. Verse 4, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Now let me explain that to you. That they took that ark and they lined it where they wanted it to go. And then they got the oxen walking in that direction, and then they let it go. Well, two boys, and I'll explain that why these two in just a moment, but these two boys, one out in front of it so the oxen will follow him, and the other walking beside of it, and all of a sudden it hits something, and it looked like the ark was going to fall off of that new cart, that new wagon that they set it on. And so Uzzah reached out and touched the ark with his hand. Read on. Verse 7, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. That's sad, isn't it? Bless his heart. Verse 8, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah until this day. Now, Perez Uzzah means the breach of Uzzah. This is where Uzzah died. All right? The breach of Uzzah. Now, verse 9, and David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. That was nice, wasn't it? Lord blessed him for having the ark there. I bet you he didn't touch it. Wouldn't you think? Yeah. All right, I'm going to stop right there, because I'm probably not going to get any further than that. But I want you to see some things tonight. I hope will be helpful to you, and we can make some application when it comes to this matter of moving this ark. All right, this story is not in the Bible just for filler material. All right, it means something. It's here for a purpose, and I want us to see that purpose tonight. All right, let's pray and end the message. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word, and I pray you'll bless as we open our Bibles now and look at this story about how this poor man, Uzzah, thinking he was doing the right thing, reached out to steady the ark and ended up dying right there on the spot. And Father, I just pray you'll be with us tonight and help us to see the truths that are here. Speak to our hearts, we pray, and draw us close to yourself. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right. Back when Saul was king, And you remember Saul was a people after was a man after the people's heart, not a man after God's heart. All right, so Saul was the people's king, and Saul did some foolish things. And one of the foolish things he did was to treat the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark that was in Israel's possession at that time, the Ark that was built by Moses and then kept for all those years and was used to for sacrifices and for meeting where God would meet with the high priest once a year and all that. So you might remember that there was a battle and the Philistines stole the ark. They just took it. And you say, well, why didn't God kill all them? I don't know. You can ask God when you get to heaven, all right? The Bible does not tell us why. But anyway, they carried it to their side of the land. And they set it up in their temples, in their false temples. And you remember the stories how that there were all these things that happened to the Philistines because the ark was in their possession. Now, I won't go into all that, but needless to say, it was very unpleasant for the Philistines to have that ark in their possession. It did not belong to them. It did not belong to them. And so eventually what happened was there were so many things that occurred that the people of the Philistines realized these weren't just happenstances. No, this was the work of God. God was judging. God was judging the Philistine people because they had the ark in their possession. So they shoveled it from city to city. The people in one town, one of their key cities, there were five of them, and they said, we don't want that thing here. Take it over to another city. So they would take it over to another city, and then all kinds of trouble came to that city. And finally, after several years, they all said, just send it back. Just give it back to them. This is not worth it. I would encourage you to go and read some of the things that God did to these Philistines because they had the ark. Very unpleasant. All right? Those of you who know the story are giggling right now. All right? Yeah, it was not good. So the Philistines said, let's send it back. Now, at this point in David's reign, he is trying his best to pull the two kingdoms together. There was a divided kingdom, and the people to the north didn't like the people from Judah, and the people from Judah didn't like the people in the north. It was just that simple. Everybody blamed everybody else for all the things that had happened. Now, David decided he's going to now, as king of the whole country, the whole nation of Israel, that he was going to have to do some things, some special things in order to bring the family of God together. So he had first to protect the western side, the western flank of Israel from the Philistines. And he did this by thwarting various attempts by some of Saul's family members, especially one of Saul's sons, a man by the name of Ishbosheth, to usurp Saul's throne. He said, "No, no, you're not going to take the throne. I'm not going to let you take the throne." And eventually, he got Ishbosheth on his side. David won Saul's son Ishbosheth over and made a pact with him that he would behave himself, and if he didn't, David was gonna, you know, kill him. And so he decided, I better behave. So he did. All right. Then David made a pact with the king in Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon were twin cities. They were up on the coast. They were in Lebanon proper. And so he went up. David went up and made peace with Hiram, was his name. And so all that got worked out. Well, then Israel's northern side was secured when he made that agreement with Hiram from Tyre and Sidon. And so all of the country was sort of loosely tied together now, and all it was going to take in David's mind was a little time for folks to trust him as their leader, as their king. And finally, David was able to defeat the Philistines, and when that was accomplished, Israel was finally able to secure some peace in the land. So with the people reunited under David's leadership, David felt that it was now time to unite the people in the worship of God as well. And in order for him to do that, he had to have the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Philistines had it, and so David sent word after defeating the Philistines, you better send it back. And so they did. They put it on a cart in verse 3. They put it on a cart, and they put Ahio out in front of it. They put Uzzah on the side of it, and started walking it towards Jerusalem. Now, here's what happened. I just read you the story. While they were transporting it, some things happened. And Uzzah ended up losing his life, and David witnessed all this and his men, and they were all afraid. They were scared to pieces that God was going to judge them. So everybody just kind of stayed back. When Uzzah reached out and then died instantly, man, they all got concerned. And David said, I'm not getting near that thing. David said, how are we going to get it to Jerusalem? I don't know. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know yet, but I know that I'm not getting near it until we get some word from God as to what we ought to be doing. You know, that's always a good thing, to get God in on what you're doing. Amen. Right? Yeah. All right, so David felt it's time now to move the ark and to get it to Jerusalem. To get it in the city from which David ruled the kingdom, but also where David lived. Now, there are three things in this chapter that I want you to see. First of all, I want you to notice David's first move. His first move. You see, this Philistine cart in verse 3 had carried the ark to the house of Abinadab many, many years earlier. So the king of Israel zealously but ill-advisedly ordered a new cart to carry the Ark of the Covenant from Gibeah to Jerusalem. Now, in David's haste to move the Ark and to get it from the house of Abinadab down to the tabernacle set up in Jerusalem, David made three critical mistakes. Let me give them to you. The first thing was this. David neglected the writing of Moses, the instructions that were given to Moses about how to transport the ark. Take your Bible, please, and turn back to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. You're in 2 Samuel. We'll just go backwards now towards the front of your Bible and turn to Numbers chapter 4. All right, Numbers chapter 4. Now, it would really be redundant to say turn to Numbers chapter number 4. Number. Y'all notice I never say number. Have y'all noticed that? You know why I don't ever say number? Because the first time Glenn Matthews ever heard me preach, I said number. Boy, did I get it. Hey, it's a given. I said, what's a given? The word number. When you tell somebody to turn to Genesis, you don't have to say, turn to Genesis chapter number. They're all numbered. And he grabbed me around the, grabbed me by the tie. I said, do you hear that? I said, yeah. And he started going, chapter number, chapter number, chapter number. I said, stop. He said, yeah, it grates on you, doesn't it? Haven't done it since. All right. But turn to chapter number 4, would you? He's in heaven. He don't care. All right. I don't want 4. I want 6. All right, I tell you what, let's do start in 4, all right? I know where I'm going, I know where I'm going, just hang on. All right, let's begin in verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto who? Moses. And unto who? Aaron. Aaron was the what? He was the high priest, yes. So Aaron needs to know this. And of course, Moses, he needs to know it. Verse 2, take the sum of the sons of Kohath. Did y'all have Cohen drugs up here back in the 50s and 60s? Anybody familiar with Cohen drugs? They were all down south. Well, the Cohen drugs, those Jewish folks were from the tribe of Levi, and one of Levi's sons, Kohath, Cohen, all right? So take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi after their families by the house of their fathers from 30 years old and upward even unto 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. Now remember, inside the Holy of Holies, that's the most holy. Where did the Ark of the Covenant sit? In the most holy. So these sons of Kohath were the men that were commissioned to handle all of that work. All of that work. And it says from 30, verse 3, from 30 all the way up to 50, they were in commission. They were to be working. All right, now look at verse 5. And when the camp setteth forward, what's that mean? What's that mean? It means when they stop, all right? And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it. So they're getting ready to move the ark. And you'll remember that on all four corners of that ark, they put little rings in the corners. Remember that? And then there were these poles that were made, and they were covered in pure gold. And the priests, these Cohen priests, these Kohath priests, it was their job to take those staves and put them through those little ringlets and put them through the ringlets on this end, and then four on each side, and they would pick it up and carry it on their shoulders. Why? So they wouldn't have to touch it. Well, why can't you touch it? That's where God is. You're unclean. I'm unclean. Well, not now, thanks to the blood of Christ. But back in Bible times, before Christ died, you were considered unclean. You could not touch it. You better not touch it. Uzzah found out the hard way, didn't he? You see, you would think, now stick with me here, wouldn't you? You would think, wouldn't you? You ready? That David would have gone back and read the law of Moses first. Wouldn't that have been the easy thing to do? I wonder how many pastors and how many preachers are going to stand before the Lord one day, and the Lord is going to look in the face of that man of God and say, why did you use that corrupt Bible? Why did you have the world's music in your church? Why? And we're not going to be able to plead ignorance. It's not going to work with God. You see, God knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. And God knows what you're thinking before you even think it. He's God. All right? But for some reason, David did not go back to read what the Bible said about the matter. And so what happened? Well, he ended up getting two fellas who were the descendants of Levi, but they weren't Kohathites. And it was specifically the job of the Kohathites to deal with the furniture in the holiest of all. Do you understand that? Do you see that? You see, folks, it matters how things are done. I mean, it matters how things are done. We just don't want to ignore the word of God. I mean, that got poor Uzzah killed. Bless his heart, that boy, I think with all my heart, he was trying to do the right thing. You say, well, why would he have done that? Well, wouldn't he have known? Well, if David didn't know. But you know, this fella had been around the ark his whole life. Maybe he just got too comfortable. You know, when you shove God aside, it gets real easy not to think of God, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. And when you refuse to follow the word of God, well, you just mark it down, dear friend. Tragedy is about to strike. And because David did not read the Bible instructions about transporting the ark of the covenant, that led to a second costly mistake. You say, well, what was his second mistake? His second mistake was he used the wrong personnel. Uzzah and Ahio were not of the Kohathite tribe. They weren't. They had nothing to do with it. They were Levites, yes. They were priests, yes. But they were not scripturally qualified to transport the ark. Perhaps they had been around the ark so much and they really just did not think that moving the ark was all that difficult of a job. But don't forget, folks, the ark contained the presence of God Almighty. Maybe they had been around the ark for so long and they had simply gotten overly familiar with God's presence. And incautiously touched the earthly dwelling place of God in violation of the word of God. I don't know what they were thinking or even if they were thinking. But I know that God said what they did, what Uzzah did, was a great error on his part. A great error. You know, despite the fact that our world is constantly changing, the Word of God stands firm. It never changes. It is unchanging. It is immutable. It is forever settled in heaven. And the Lord requires His ministries of believers to conform to His word in all aspects of the ministry. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. All right, now give that seatbelt you're wearing just one little tug here because I don't want you falling out on the floor. But here's the truth, folks. God never calls a man to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist who does not first meet the qualifications of such as is delivered in the Bible. That's right. That's why I don't believe in women preachers. I just don't. They're not supposed to be preachers. They're not supposed to be pastors. You say, well, you're a bigot. Well, you call me what you want. If you're gonna call me that, call me a biblical bigot. All right? Because I'm just going by what the Bible says. And here, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the bishop or the pastor is to be the husband of one wife. Does not say that the pastor is to be the wife of one husband. Because God doesn't call her to preach. God calls him to preach. You're welcome. You say, well, it's 2025. I know what year it is. I really do. But I also know that the Bible never changes. So I'm just going to stick with the book. I mean, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. You know, a lot of damage has been done to the church of Jesus Christ because folks don't regard the scripture and obey what thus saith the Lord. They just don't. David's third mistake was he used the wrong method. He used the wrong method to move the ark. You see, the Lord had instructed in the law that the Kohathites insert staves through those little rings on the four corners in order to move it. It was to be covered with a cloth. There was no cloth on this one. They didn't take the cloth that it sat on and then fold the cloth and put it over top of the ark. No. It just set it on a new cart, took off with it. I guess I'm saying, folks, as we serve the Lord, we're supposed to follow the directions.
Amen. That's right.
Okay. We're supposed to follow the directions. Don't forget, the presence of God was on that ark. But King David did not take the time to look all that up. And because he didn't, Uzzah reached out to steady it when it was about to fall, and instantly he died. So folks, please understand that methods are important. The means of carrying out the will of God determines the end result. We are to worship God. But wait a minute. We are to worship God in the right way, in the Bible way. That's how we worship God, in spirit and in truth. In other words, everything we do has to be done in line with the Bible way. And it's so sad that today the average church congregation is no longer built on the blueprint of God's word, but is rather built on a ton of other things. And as long as God gives me breath and keeps me here, we're going to follow the blueprint. I hadn't been here a week, and somebody came up to me right there, and said to me, "I'm so glad you're here." I said, "Thank you." He said, "I'm glad you're here. It's time to move the music ministry into the 21st century." And I said, "Say what now?" He said, "It's time to liven up the music." I said, "There's nothing wrong with the music. What do you don't like about the music?" "Well, it needs livened up." I said, "But then I'll tell Sterling to play, sing a little faster." "No, you don't understand what I'm saying." I said, "I think I do. Matter of fact, I know I do." "Yeah, we're not, just not going to go there." Nope. Secondly, I want you to notice the second thing, notice David's response. In verse 9, 10, and 11, after God smote Uzzah, David was scared to death. In verse 9, the king's response was one of displeasure and fear. And David was so fearful, he went out and said, "There's a house. Put the ark in that house." It doesn't even say he asked. He just was scared to death, and he said, "Put it there." And it stayed there for 3 months. You say, well, what was David doing in that three-month period? Making sure he wasn't next. That's what he was doing. He was doing what he should have done the first time. Look it up and follow what the Bible says. In verse 9, he asked the question, well, Lord, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? How am I going to get it where it needs to be? And it took him 3 months to get the instruction and the direction from God. And David figured out where he went wrong, and he acknowledged his error, and he said, ye are the heads of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God broke forth upon us because we sought him not in the proper way. And that is in 1 Chronicles 15, verse 12 and 13. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? So David insisted that everything had to be done the right way. And God blessed the transporting of the ark from the house of Obed-Edom to the tabernacle in Jerusalem. David insisted that every detail in the book of Numbers was to be followed. And when he insisted on that and they did it, God blessed. And folks, that's how you get God's blessing upon what you're doing. You do it God's way. And boy, suddenly the presence of God became a great blessing to the people of Israel instead of being a curse. And then lastly, I want you to notice the final move. The final move. And we see his final move going back now to 2 Samuel 6. Or 4, I'm sorry. I got 6 in my head. I cannot get rid of it. All right, chapter 6. Where am I? Somebody tell me, help me. There it is, I see it. All right, I got it. I'm losing my mind. Join the club? You're president of that one? Okay. Now I can be vice president then, right? All right, look at verse 12, please. In verse 12, it says, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Now get the picture here, folks. I don't know how far away they were from Jerusalem. But David said, if we're going to do this thing, we're going to do it right. We're not going to have any more Uzzah situations. We're going to do it right. And here's what he did. He said, let's go. Put it on the staves. They put it on the staves. They carried it. They went 6 steps. And David said, stop. And then he erected an altar and he sacrificed. And after the sacrifice was complete, he said, all right, let's move. 6 more steps. Stop. It probably took all day to get that thing wherever they were taking it. But David said, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. Amen. Yep. Amen. Have I said that enough tonight? Do y'all see the point? Yeah. I mean, if we're going to do it, let's do it right. Okay? Yeah. Let's do it right. And so the Kohathite priest would carry the ark for six paces and then stop. And David would offer, according to the Chronicles passage, seven bullocks and seven rams unto the Lord as a sacrificial offering. And the reason for this sacrifice is not given anywhere in the passages. No word as to why he did it. But I think I know why he did it. He feared God. And David said, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it the right way. We're going to do it the right way. Now, something happened here. I want you to notice this. I'll not take the time to amplify it. My time's gone. But as they neared Jerusalem, okay, look down, please, to look down to verse 14. It says David danced. I wish I hadn't translated it that way. David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. In other words, not the sturdiest garment you could put on. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, this is a lady, this is a girl, this is a wife of David. Michal, who was Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. All right, look here. Your don't religion is somebody else's do. Did you get that? Now, there's a lot of things I don't agree with. Dancing is one of them. Y'all know that. And the reason that I don't like it is the same reason Michal didn't like it. She was embarrassed for David. And then if you go over and read the Chronicles account of this, just look down here at verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today." Now, this is sarcasm, all right? This is sarcasm. Michal went to the Pastor Josh School of Sarcasm. And said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids and of his servants, as one of the vain fellows." Ouch. "Shamelessly uncovereth himself." So she pretty well let him have it. And here's what David said, verse 21. David said, "It was before the Lord." I guess that makes it okay then, right? It was before the Lord. Really? David? Might you have gotten a little carried away there, David? I think he did. I think he did. It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father. You see what he's doing? Hey, I'm the king, not your dad. Your dad messed up, and he died. He died in judgment. And I think he was giving her a little warning here. I tell you, folks, that there's so much in these several verses here that just, I just don't know an answer. I do know this, she should not have rebuked her husband. She shouldn't have done it. You say, how you know that? Well, look at verse 23. Therefore, in other words, because of what she did, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. So Michal stands up to David. David stands up to Michal. And David understood that God had called him to be the king in Michael's father, Saul's place. And David basically said to her, listen, you might be embarrassed by my excitement today, but I am not a bit ashamed of the way I exalted the Lord. I exalted the Lord, whereas Saul, your father, exalted himself and paid the price. So you see, whatever wealth or position or blessing David received, he realized that he had received it from the Lord. So David was loyal to the Lord, and Saul was loyal to Saul. Now, how can we apply this to us? Well, folks, listen. Whatever we do for the Lord, do it with all your might. Amen. But use your head. All right? Dr. Bob Sr. used to say all the time, it's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. Amen. That's good. Now you think about that. That's profound. It's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. All right, I hope that helps you. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your eternal word. And Father, we are grateful that we have the opportunity to hear your word and to apply it to our own personal lives and our own personal hearts. And Father, I ask you to help us to have good discernment. Help us to have good judgment in everything that we do. And Father, help us to see that the way we are is a reflection upon you as our God. So Father, give us a convicted heart that we'll let our light shine for you and not for ourselves. And Father, we want to be a blessing. We want to be used. And so I pray that you'll help all of us to make up our mind. We're going to serve the Lord, but we're going to do it the right way. So bless your word now, Christ, we ask. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.